Soul to soul, spirit to spirit. Blessings, my friends. I guess most of you know that we are having some upcoming classes. One night in Denver and a whole weekend in California. The information for that is on the website mysticalprinciples.com under upcoming classes. And it'll tell you that they're taking place December 3rd, 4th, 5th, and 6th. It'll tell you where it's taking place, how to reserve a spot, and how to stay at a certain hotel, and the driving directions. All that's on the website. So I hope to see you there. Many of you I've never met in the flesh. I've just seen your typeface. I've never seen your face. So it'll be fun to meet you, but more important than fun is the theme of the classes is the consciousness of truth, which means the conscious awareness of truth, as opposed to the letter of truth. And that's what we're going to get into in the upcoming classes. So I hope to see you there, and I hope that the tapes turn out okay this time, and if you can't make it, you can at least hear the tapes or CDs. Alright, that's enough of a commercial. Now we'll settle down, get quiet, take a moment of peace here before we begin this talk. I was talking with someone the other day, and we were discussing healing, spiritual healing, and the person said, or at least intimated that, well, I know I don't have to do anything because Christ does the healing. And I thought about that, and I took that away and pondered it some. And the first thing that became apparent to me was, that's not necessarily the truth. I don't have to do anything. Christ does the healing. I can't heal anybody. Yeah, sort of. That's kind of a half-truth. That's one of those incomplete statements. Because if you didn't have to do anything because Christ did the healing, then everybody, everywhere, would be experiencing the Christ healing, wouldn't they? And so, yes, it's true. Only Christ can heal. A human being can't heal. And yet, why is Christ not doing that for you or me or many others? There are people everywhere right now that need healing of their finances. The world is in a terrible economic shape. Why is the Christ not healing their finances? There are people all over with different various forms of disease. Why is Christ not healing their disease? I mean, only Christ can heal, right? So why is Christ not healing them? If we were to sit back and let Christ do it, why is Christ not doing it? There are people feeling totally alone and lonely. Why is Christ not healing their companionship or companions? What about those going through divorce, feeling lonely and like terrible failures? Why is Christ not healing that? And so that's what I was thinking as I came away from this conversation. And I thought to myself, well, no, Christ is not doing that. So if I say, well, I can't do anything about this, it's up to Christ to do it. That's an incomplete statement. that doesn't do it. Saying that to myself does not get Christ to do it. Then what is missing? There's something missing, or I'm missing something. Well, it's sort of like that other statement. Christ is omnipresent, or God is omnipresent, or the Tao is omnipresent. God is everywhere and in everything. Is that the truth? Well, come on now, is that the truth? Turn on the news. Yeah, turn on your TV. Is God everywhere and in everything? No. God's not in that shooting or that stabbing. God's not in that house that burnt down. God's not in that child that was hit by a car. Well, then how can you say God is in everything and everyone? And so, as I looked at that, I became convinced that we're missing something. We most definitely play a part in this. And it may seem a little shocking at first, but God's not everywhere and in everything unless God is realized. Now, we know from our years' experience in the Infinite Way that when we sit down to meditate, often we have a realization, a feeling of the presence of the living God. And it lasts for 10 or 15 minutes, and then it wears off, and we're back to our everyday normal selves, functioning in the world as a human being. Now, where is God while we're functioning in the world as a human being? And you can say, well, right there with you. But if you go outside and stub your toe, well, where was God? If you go outside and catch the latest swine flu, where's God? You see, we have a part in this. We can't sit back and say, well, God will do it. This is all God. God's everywhere. There, now I'm done. Because something's still missing. God is not on earth unless God is realized. And so there must come your part, which is your realization of oneness. In your realization, you make real. When you realize God's presence is right there with you. If you don't realize it, it's not. And so it's not correct to say God is everywhere. The correct statement is God is everywhere that God is realized. And so if you're taking the time each day to realize God, you're making God real. That is, you're coming into the conscious awareness of God right where you are. And so God is not everywhere. God is everywhere that God is realized. And why does God not heal? Why does the Christ not heal? Because you must do something. It's not enough to say, well, Christ does the healing, so I'll just leave it with Him. And then you catch that flu. What? How did that? Why did that happen? I thought I was leaving it to Christ. You're not supposed to leave it to Christ. You have a part. What is your part in spiritual healing? Do you know? Well, Christ itself said you must know the truth, and then the truth will set you free. But if you don't know it, it won't set you free. So, let's change that one word, truth, and change it to Christ. You must know the Christ, and then the Christ will set you free. You must know the Christ, and then the Christ will heal. You must have a realization of Christ and the Christ presence, and then that Christ presence will heal. Without your realization, sure, you can go around saying it's omnipresent and never experience a healing. So your part is to realize that Christ in your midst. That's your part. And without it, there is no Christ healing. So no, it's not correct to say, well, Christ will do it. A human being can't heal. Yeah, that sounds spiritual, but it's not correct. Christ won't do it unless the human being does something to realize Christ, where the human being appears. And so what must you do? There's two parts to any healing. Don't let anybody tell you there's only one part. That is incorrect. Joel states that if you just realize your oneness with God, you will only have the fringe of demonstrations or healings. You must take the second part, which is to know the nothingness of error. And so according to Joel, you have two things to do in each meditation, and that would be to realize the Christ in your midst and to realize the nothingness of error, which is appearing. And so that's what you have to do. That's your part. If you know those two things, then the demonstration is complete and there is a Christ healing. So you have a lot to do. You can't just sit back and say, well, Christ is the only one that can heal, so I'll leave it to him. No. Christ can't heal without your conscious awareness. Christ can't heal without your realization of oneness. Yes, Christ is a healing influence. But you've got to come to the place where you have nothing eyes, the error, to the point where you can rest and relax and come into the conscious awareness of Christ in your midst. Then, the healing is the added thing. It's automatic. What does Joel always say? If you want to feel the warmth of the sun, you have to step out into the sun. If you want the Christ healing, you have to nothing hides the appearance of error to the point where you can relax and rest back and feel Christ's presence in your midst. And then it's as automatic as the warmth from the sun. If you will do those things, which is knowing the truth, that Christ's presence will heal. Or, if you prefer, will give unto you every good and perfect gift. They will be added unto you. So you do have a part, and there is work involved, and Joel says it's hard work for a year or two. We don't want to do it, he says. We want to look at picture magazines. And he certainly sounds frustrated, and I understand. Here he has taken the time to travel the world, lay it at our feet, how to do this, and nobody wants to do it. Well, not nobody, but most people don't want to do it. He says they want to look at picture magazines, they don't want to work. But let's assume you do want to work. let's assume you recognize it's not enough to say God is omnipresent or Christ will do the healing. Let's assume that you know you have to do something specific in the way of knowing the truth which will set you free. Then what do you have to do? Well, Joel says you start your meditation with the word God. And you know the truth about God, which relaxes you. And then at a certain point, you recognize that the error is only an image and thought, a nothingness, and you stop fighting. And then you be receptive, you become receptive, and may even say the word, "Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth." Because as God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. And so when you cease from your thoughts, then my thoughts can float into your consciousness. Now, Joel always said, start your meditation with God. And I do that sometimes. But I also sometimes start by saying, okay, what is this appearing to me? I'm not going to deny that something's here. Something is here. And what is it? This must be that impersonal fabric of universal hypnotism, universal illusion, universal beliefs, appearing as a person or a condition, as a this or a that. It's impersonal. It belongs to no one. God's not in that whirlwind of thought, of mental images. There's no spirit in that. I've never felt the presence in that appearance. So there's no life in it then. God is life, and God's not in that appearance, then there's no life in it. No substance, no cause, no law. It's nothing. Nothingness appearing as a something. And so I don't have to fight it. I'm not going to battle. I'm going to cease from that nothingness and disengage right now. Now, what about God? What about this Christ? Well, the Word was made invisible flesh. God manifested as invisible flesh, I in the midst of me, the Christ. Closer than breathing, nearer than hands and feet, I in the midst of me, in the very center of me, I Christ in the midst of me. I have come that you might have life, and life more abundantly. Okay, let me relax then. Let me rest. Let me step aside, a little to one side, and just bear witness. Let me behold I, Christ, in the midst of me. Father, lift me into the awareness of this invisible flesh, I in the midst. I stand still, I listen, and I wait. Christ, reveal Christ. Feel the movement of the presence of the living Christ. Now I can say with complete authority, Christ in the midst of me is the healer. I let go. I let Christ. And so you see, I have known the truth. And the truth is setting me free. But I have known the truth as a living experience in the center of my being. Not as just some words that I mouth. Not as just some words that I pray. But as a living experience. I have stepped out of the whirlwind of error. Rested back. And come into the conscious feel or conscious awareness of I in the midst of me, this invisible flesh. God manifested itself as Christ in the midst. And I have felt it and its movement. This conscious awareness of the living Christ is what heals. This is knowing the truth. And this is the truth that sets us free. And when we do this, because of omniscience, it knows how to appear as form. You see, this invisible Christ in our midst that we have just not just declared, but just felt, it forms itself as our supply, as our life, our health, as our companionship, as our experience. And we say, whereas before I was blind, now I see. Yes, that means whereas before I was looking through my sense mind at these pictures in the whirlwind, now I see with spiritual discernment, I sense and feel the invisible flesh of Christ in my midst, maintained, sustained, supported by the Father for eternity. This is the Son in my midst, which appears as my living experience, as I come into the conscious awareness of it, and then rest in it. You see the difference? So God is not everywhere present, and Christ will not do the healing unless you fulfill your part, which is to realize omnipresence of Christ and to be a witness of the movement of that Christ. And then, your conscious awareness of it flows forth as form. You see, we have two choices in this life. We can let the whirlwind of thoughts form themselves as our living experience. And we know what the results will be. Some days good, some days bad, sometimes young, sometimes old, sometimes sick, sometimes well, sometimes wealthy, sometimes poor, sometimes with a host of friends, sometimes alone. We can swing between the opposites for our entire lifetime so that at the end, we're sometimes alive and sometimes dead. So we can let the world thoughts, the universal world hypnotism, universal beliefs form our outer experience. And it will be sometimes good and sometimes bad. It will be whatever the second chapter of Genesis shows us, which shows us a life of pain and struggle, doesn't it? With with an occasional good day. Or we can make the conscious, notice the word conscious here, we can make the conscious transition, the transition inside where we fulfill the conditions and know the truth and come into the conscious feel, the conscious awareness of the truth of Christ in our midst, and let that Christ consciousness form itself as our outer experience. Then we'll come into the kingdom of heaven on earth. We will come into the kingdom of heaven. Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. These two will be one. And Christ consciousness will form itself as our outer experience. Then we will come into that first chapter of Genesis, where God beheld all that he had made, and behold, it was very good. In other words, we'll come into harmony. We'll come into the experience over and over again where something that we didn't even know was needed shows up a few days before we need it. We'll come into the experience of, before they call, I will answer. We'll come into the living experience, the conscious awareness that God really is omnipresent. Only we'll feel God wherever we go, wherever we are. We'll come into the conscious awareness, the living experience that God is my companion, and therefore infinite in form and variety. We'll never be alone. We'll come into the experience that the conscious awareness that this invisible spiritual substance, this Christ in my midst, this invisible flesh, forms itself as my body. And we'll see that it comes closer and closer to his image and likeness, which means harmony prevails. The body will function harmoniously without taking thought. We'll see that that invisible spiritual substance, consciously felt, consciously realized, forms itself as our supply, so that everything, every good and perfect gift is, forms itself as our living experience, coming to us from all over the universe, but being formed of our consciousness, our conscious awareness. So if we put this in modern language, we would say, thinking about the truth will kill you. It will not lead to life, because that's the letter. It's important in the beginning to know the letter, and you can't get to the Christ, the conscious awareness, without going through the letter. But at a certain point, you had better leave the letter behind, because to stay there will kill you. At a certain point, it becomes time to make the conscious transition. And so thinking about the truth will kill you, if that's all you do. But your conscious awareness of the truth, your conscious feeling of that presence, of that Christ, of that invisible flesh, of the Word in your consciousness, your conscious awareness of it is what sets you free. That's why Christ said, know the truth and the truth will set you free. The truth won't set you free unless you know it. Christ can't heal you unless you have the conscious awareness of Christ. And you can't have the conscious awareness of Christ if you believe in the power of error. So you see, it all ties together. And Joel tried to put it in a nice little neat package for us, and he did. But it's up to you and to I to practice it. We must know both parts of the truth. We must impersonalize and nothingize the appearance of error to get to that state of silence in which we're not fighting anything or anyone. But more than that, we're consciously knowing, consciously bearing witness to the fact that error, in the presence of Christ, error has no power. That's another statement. If you walk around saying error has no power, it's not true. It's an incomplete statement. In your conscious awareness of Christ, error has no power. That's the only place where it has no power. The darkness can't function in the light. When you turn on a light in a pitch dark room, the darkness disappears. It just disappears. That's the same way with error in the presence of Christ. It just disappears. But it must be the conscious awareness of Christ, the feel of Christ, not a thought about it, not a statement. So yes, know the truth, become consciously aware of the truth, and I am the truth, so become consciously aware of that I in your midst. And then that I in your midst will dissolve the appearance of error. You see how it works? And so, when this person said to me in our conversation, well, only Christ can heal, so I'll let the Christ do it, it threw me into looking at all this and kind of sharpening and defining all of this within me. No, the Christ won't do it. You have a part. You must know the truth. Ye must know the truth, as Joel says. And knowing the truth does not mean just thinking about statements of truth. Your knowing the truth means coming into the conscious awareness of Christ. Then, because of your conscious awareness of Christ, Christ functions as your experience and melts the images of error. That's the only way. You can't leave any of that out that we've just talked about, or it won't work. Then you'll be walking around saying, well, I don't understand. God is omnipresent, and I felt Him once, but look at this error. It's just eating away at my life. See, you won't make that mistake, because you'll know. We live day by day. Each day, we live by our state of consciousness. Hence the need to practice meditation several times a day. Until that day, when the conscious awareness of the living Christ in your midst becomes continuous and unbroken, it is necessary to have these 4 or 5 periods a day, at least, to renew your contact, to renew your conscious awareness, your conscious feel of that presence. We are told the day will come when we make the transition from man whose breath is in his nostril to that man who has his being in Christ and Christ in him. We are told the day will come when we make that transition, where we never have to go out and never lose the conscious awareness of the living Christ. And in that day we'll know why Christ itself said, "Abide in me, and I in you." Because that's the whole secret. But it must be a conscious abiding. And so there you see, I talked about the consciousness of truth after all, which I wasn't going to do, but it seeped out anyway. I can tell you that you are walking toward that day when you will have the conscious awareness of the living God, the living Tao, the living Christ, the living Is with you always, even beyond the end of the world. You will walk out of this experience in the conscious awareness of the living Christ. And when you step on the other side of the veil, you will still have the conscious awareness of the living Christ. And if you step back in at some other point, you will bring with you the conscious awareness of the living Christ. It will never leave you nor forsake you. And that's the point toward which we are walking. We are being transformed. We are making the transition from someone that thinks and is involved in this whirlwind of thinking where God isn't, and has that thinking forming itself as the living experience or living nightmare, really, of good and evil. We are transitioning out of that into up here in the upper chambers, where Christ consciousness, the conscious awareness of Christ, forms itself as our experience. And we see the New Jerusalem coming down out of consciousness and forming itself as our living experience. This is the transition we're making. Man of earth to man of Christ. Well, let's pause for a moment and see if there's anything else. Otherwise, we'll wrap this up. And just take a moment and be silent and be receptive. We have had the Mystical Principles list up and running for 4 years. We've made over 300 talks. Several have been typed up in text form. All of those are free. We've had 2 books published, Steps to Mystical Experience and Secrets of the Spiritual Kingdom. We've had classes in California, Florida, Georgia. Now we're going to Colorado and California again. We have moved through the Kailua Study Series of talks by Joel, the 1955 Kailua Study Series. We have moved through the entire Revelation of St. John the Divine talks interpreted by Herb Fitch. We made a series called Crucifying Personal Sense, Personal Self. And we've come a long way. I am certain, I feel certain, that should I make that transition in my sleep tonight and cross over from this plane to that far country, which I don't feel like I'm going to, but I'm just saying, if I feel certain that everyone that has visited Mystical Principles, if they've gotten into it deeply, they know what to do. They know the transition that they have to make. They don't need anyone to tell them that they are transitioning out of humanhood into Christhood, or the conscious awareness of the living Christ at all times and in all places. And so I feel really good about that. I hope to see you all in California in December. It's only 2 months away. Well, all of October, all of November. Yeah, 2 months away. So I hope to see you all there. And we will continue the transition, the transformation from humanhood to Christhood. And we'll get some hugs together, maybe have a meal together. And we'll go into deeply the consciousness of truth, or the consciousness of the living Christ, or the consciousness of God omnipresent. Thank you. Have a wonderful rest of the weekend. And you may write me anytime. God bless.